Sharing Adventure, the Indiana School of the Sky book series. He was a little guy, earning 20 pounds, probably quite a bit less than that. But you don't measure a man by his size, even in the infantry. You measure him by the way he talks to you, by the way he looks. You measure him by the way he thinks. That's the way we fellas in the 9th Division measured up Ernie Pyle. And from where we stood, Ernie was a giant. It's time for Sharing Adventure, the Indiana School of the Sky book series brought to boys and girls and their friends everywhere by Indiana University, with the cooperation of the Indiana State Department of Education and this radio station. Today, the story of Ernie Pyle, war correspondent.
Should you visit Indiana University sometime, say in late spring when the forsythia has blossomed on the campus, should you visit Indiana University sometime, you'll probably stop in at the Union Building. Inside, you'll see a small hallway that shoots off from the corridor leading into the main lounge. You'll probably take a look at the glassed-in case in that hallway. It's filled with the odds and ends that a fellow can pick up in a lifetime. There's an old briar pipe there, and one of those fancy army hats with the cardboard stiffening taken out of it, you know, so it'll flop. And then there's a typewriter, a small portable typewriter. A few of the keys are bent. The carriage shift doesn't work quite. There's an identification tag on it that reads Ernie Pyle.
This is actually Ernie Pyle's typewriter that you're hearing right now. Page after page of copy have gone through this typewriter. War stories from North Africa, from Italy, England, Normandy, finally from the South Pacific. Frontline stories from the little guy. Ernie Pyle, war correspondent.
We guys of the 9th, the 9th Infantry Division, like to tell ourselves that we were the forgotten fools of the Army. We started out in North Africa and fought it through Tunisia and Sicily. We fought hard, took heavy casualties, and did a good job generally. But Combe knew a thing about us. Well, in the fall of 1943, we went to England, trained all winter long, and then just when we thought we might get a nice summer vacation, it happened. The Normandy invasion. We had our minds made up. The folks back home were going to know about us this time. So we set up a small public relations section. I was sort of a clerk. And we had some correspondents assigned to us, newspaper fellows, you know. One of them was little, bird-like fellow with his hair gone.
Hi there.
Yeah?
My name's Pyle. This is where I report.
Correspondent?
Yep.
This is the place. See your credentials, sir?
Oh, I've got them right here someplace. Yeah, here you are.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, let's see now. Yeah. Well, they seem okay. Guess I'm to look after you, Mr. Pyle.
Oh, just Ernie, Corporal.
Oh, sure, Ernie. Glad to know you. I'm Bill Judson, Akron, Ohio.
Hey, say, that makes us, Bill. I'm from Indiana.
Oh, what do you know? I got a cousin in Indianapolis. He's with the Marines now.
Don't like that, huh? Where is he, Pacific?
Somewhere out there. Well, I guess I better assign a cot to you. Nobody knows when the heavy shooting will begin. This gear over here yours?
Yeah, that's mine, Bill.
Well, in the first platoon thinks tonight. As far as I'm concerned, next year would be too soon.
I know what you mean there, pal.
Anyway, you'll catch a few hours sleep.
Say, you've been with the division long?
Since we left the States. Got assigned right at the last minute. How do you like that? If I hadn't been hanging around that orderly room when I was, I'd still be on the States
What's
side.
What's the matter? Don't you like the outfit, Bill?
Oh, the outfit's tops. It's the shooting part I don't like.
None of us like that part.
You said it.
Now, if you'll tell me where I bunk up, I think I'll get some rest.
Well, yes, sir, Mr. Pyle.
Oh, careful there.
Ernie, just follow me. Well, it isn't anything fancy. They don't even give you a chance to wash out your socks.
Yeah, I know.
Hey, take it easy there, Ernie. This Cherbourg mud could swallow you like a... Hit it, Ernie! missed us a mile.
Yeah.
Well, as I was saying, this Cherbourg mud could swallow you like a whirlpool. Ernie stayed with the 9th Division 9 days, hardly long enough. But the few days he was with us, we got to know him like just another buddy. He slept with us, ate with us, cussed a little with us, and got just as scared as anybody when the time came to get scared. But when the shooting would die down, he'd unpack that typewriter of his and write away. Hey, Ernie, you really get that stuff printed in the papers back in the States?
Sometimes.
Why, Ernie, I'll bet they use it for wallpaper.
You can tell I haven't got any readers among you guys.
We can't read, Ernie. They don't let infantrymen learn.
Don't give me that line, Ed. Billers already told me you've got 3 years in at Northwestern University.
Yeah, I was going to be a lawyer. But look at me now. Nursemaid to a B.A.R.
You'll get back to Northwestern someday.
Boy, listen to those Germans. They must be throwing all the heavy stuff they got.
Hey, go out and tell them to aim it the other way, Hank.
Hey, no kidding, Ernie. Do they print your column all over the U.S.? Mm-hmm.
Fellas, you are now gazing upon a war correspondent who has the slightest idea what they do with his material.
Ernie, my mom wrote me. She says she reads your column.
Oh,
sent me
so?
A clipping of one of them. You wrote it when you were in Italy.
You wrote a lot of them in Italy.
Now, this here's a special one. Here, I've been carrying it in my billfold. It's about Captain Waskow, got killed in Italy.
Yeah, I remember. He was from Texas.
Belton, Texas.
Yeah.
It's only about 100 miles from my home, Ernie. When I read your column about him, I got a funny feeling.
Oh.
Captain Waskow and I were just like neighbors. Ain't it funny how close the war seems when someone from your own state gets it? Funny. Makes you sick. Makes you feel like telling the whole world...
Hank.
Sorry. Didn't mean to sound off like that.
Oh, that's okay, boy.
Sure, sure, that's okay, Hank. Well, I know how you feel. So does Bill and Ed. Well, heck, I feel the same way. War seems so distant until we get mixed up in it or lose somebody. Or hear that someone from our own state is, well, headed run out. It smells, War. The whole thing smells.
Say, why'd you ever get in it, Ernie? Why, right now you could be sitting in some office back in the good old USA. Water cooler right there at your
I
elbow.
I don't know why. I've never stopped to figure out why. Just like you, I don't know why.
Well, I know why I did. I got drafted.
I do.
Maybe that's it, Bill. Maybe I got drafted, too.
Hey, that stuff's dropping pretty close. We better dig low.
Me, I'll take sweet rifle fire any day to these shells. Ernie, where's your fox?
Why, it's about 200 yards over that way.
Over there behind that tree. It's big enough for both of us. Come on, buddy, before the soup's too hot.
Sure, Ed. Glad to room with you anytime. Oh, but wait till I case my typewriter.
Typewriter? Be hanged. I'd rather see a purple heart on that typewriter than on you any day. Now, come on. Let's scramble.
Get out of here. Let's go.
Ernie Pyle, war correspondent. Although you'd never know it except when he sat down in front of that old typewriter of his. Ernie wasn't any different than the rest of us. He ate his sea rations right alongside of us and cracked the same jokes about him. He got his feet wet just like the rest of us and had just as much trouble finding a dry pair of socks. And hated war, boy, just as much as we hated war. Well, the last day Ernie was with the 9th, I helped him get his gear together. We'd camped down at the bottom of a small hill. But the Germans had generally pulled out of Cherbourg, and it was safe to climb up to the top of the hill and look around. The sun was low, and a thick strip of clouds to the west was lit with the setting sun. Ernie looked a long time at that sunset before he said anything.
Bill?
Yeah, Ernie?
Did you ever see anything look so hateful and yet so beautiful all at the same time?
Hey, you mean the sunset?
Yeah. On this side, war. Yet beyond it, an ocean. And then America.
And Akron, Ohio. Well,
you'll be back in Akron soon, Bill.
I hope so, Ernie.
You got any idea what you'll do after the war?
Sleep. Yes, sir, for 6 straight months. Hey, then you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to open up a filling station.
Good.
Already
good.
Got the spot picked. Hey, How about you?
Oh, go on writing, I suppose, but I'm like you. I'm going to get in some powerful sleeping, too.
At that little place you have in Albuquerque?
Yep. I never want to see another war again.
Jensen! Corporal Jensen!
Yeah, there's the captain. Yes, sir, Captain!
Ernie Pyle up there with you, Corporal?
Right, sir!
Well, tell him his jeep's ready. Here?
Yes, sir! That guy. Well, Ernie, I guess your transportation's ready. Got any idea where you're going?
Oh, think I'll join up with an ordnance company a few days. Chance anyway to get my typewriter in good shape.
Well, you tell them ordnance guys to take good care of you, Ernie.
If they don't, Bill, I'll refer them to the 9th Infantry for a lesson in good manners. Well, I guess I'd better get going. Goodbye, Bill.
So long, Ernie.
I'll stop in Akron someday, Bill, to get some gas.
You do that, Ernie. I'll give you all the free air you want.
So long, buddy, and take it easy.
So long, Ernie. Take it easy, buddy. Ernie Pyle, just a little guy. Why, he couldn't have weighed more than 120 pounds. But you don't measure a guy by his size, even in the infantry. You measure a guy by the way he talks to you, by the way he looks. You measure him by the way he thinks. That's the way we fellas in the 9th Division measured up Ernie Pyle. And from where we stood, Ernie Pyle was a giant.
So should you visit Indiana University sometime and go into the Union Building, you'll find a glassed-in case in one of the hallways. It's a pretty imposing case, and Ernie probably would be embarrassed if he saw all the fuss the folks at IU have made about him. They put his old typewriter in there, the one you heard today, even one of his pipes. There's also a folio filled with an early Pyle manuscript, one of the last stories he wrote for his column before he, like so many of the soldiers before him, was killed in battle. Ernie Pyle was a soldier, maybe a different kind of a soldier, for all he had to fight with was a battered old typewriter.
That's Ernie's typewriter you hear now. A few of the keys are stiff, the spacer doesn't work too well. Ernie's had a time with it. That's Ernie's typewriter. And as you hear the keys tapping away, you can nearly hear the words coming from it that Ernie once wrote. Just before he left France.
All of us together will have to learn how to reassemble our broken world into a pattern so firm and so fair that another great war cannot soon be possible. To tell the simple truth, most of us over in France pretend to know the right answers. Submersion in war doesn't necessarily qualify a man to be the master of the peace. All we can do is fumble and try once more. Try out of the memory of our anguish and be as tolerant with each other, well, as we can.
Signed, Ernie Pyle, War Correspondent.
And that's our story for today. By the way, adventure sharers, how are you coming on those original stories about school days? Remember, the deadline is April 13th, so get your story down on paper in 200 words or less and send it to the Indiana School of the Sky, care of the Department of Radio at Indiana University.
Heard in today's cast were Lamar Krask, Dan McGuire, Bob Messi, Russ Tornabin, Julius Miller, and Richard Morgan. Sound and music by Jack Mickey. The program was written by Fred Brewer and directed by Fred L. Gerber.
Next week, same time, we're going to tell you the story about the Oregon Trail with a story called Trailblazers.
This series is produced by the Radio Department of Indiana University and reaches you through the cooperation of the Indiana State Department of Education and this radio station.